Hello, PHCC. Welcome to Season 1, Episode 17 of PHCC Rocks, a podcast highlighting some of the great things happening all over America related to the National Plumbing, Heating, Cooling Contractors Association. I'm your host, Joel Long, and we are coming from you. We are coming to, what's it, We're coming to you from Gastonia, North Carolina, which is today's worldwide headquarters of PHCC, and we really have a great program today. We believe in these programs because we want to tell the incredible stories of members, our chapters and events and partners from all over the country that make PHCC rock. Today's show's a little bit different. We have two leaders of our national auxiliary with us, Kathy Tindall from New Jersey, who's the current president of our auxiliary. Kathy?
Hello, everyone.
And from the great state of North Carolina, we have we have Bonnie Whitaker, the incoming president. And, you know, Bonnie.
Hey.
Yeah, and we've already, Kathy and I have already given her grief about her background. It's really, you know, we are struggling. Bonnie, you're not going to recover from that background. That's awesome. So
it is what it is, Joel.
That is. Welcome, ladies. And listen, thanks so much for agreeing to do this. We're all so busy and, yeah, we really appreciate you guys doing this to talk about the auxiliary. I'm really glad to have you.
Hey, we appreciate you having us on.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we do.
It's going to be fun today. We're going to have a lot of fun. And just go ahead and warn everybody, everything we say is 100% the truth. We're very serious people. There will be no laughing or we won't stretch the truth on anything, correct?
No.
Perfect. All right. So, guys, we always we've started almost all of these. Because I like hearing stories, and I think everybody else does, of how you ended up where you are currently, you know, with PHCC. And it's a little bit different with the auxiliary, but talk about, you know, how you give us some of your background and how you ended up where you are with the National Auxiliary.
Kevin and I started Tindall & Ransom in 1992. So this year will be 30 years.
Oh, wow.
It was 1 year later in 93, we joined the auxiliary and the contractors. And so for almost 30 years, we've been donating or volunteering our time, our talents to not only the auxiliary, the PHCC, the sponsors, and the industry. And believe it or not, this was not my career I picked. I went to college for CSI.
Did you really?
Wow. And never finished it. Got married very young. I was 19. Kevin was 21. Yeah. And had Heather, I was 21. So I didn't finish all my college, but yes, we just celebrated yesterday our 43rd wedding anniversary.
Oh, no kidding.
Happy anniversary.
Congrats. Thank you. So great. Yeah, we, you know, as I always tell people that this industry has given us and our family and our employees a very great life. Yeah. So we always want to give back and play forward.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, Kathy, it's interesting. You say you didn't start off. Almost no one that we've interviewed this year has started off in the plumbing or air conditioning direction. You know, it's interesting.
I mean, Kevin was in it since he was 16.
Yeah.
He started working at his brother-in-law's company in Princeton when he was 16 years old. And this is his career he's always wanted and always had.
Yeah. Well, really, I mean, they drifted in and out, or they weren't sure, or maybe they, you know, it's been really interesting how many people have had similar stories that you have. And so do you have him straightened out yet?
No.
Okay. Just checking.
Is there a way to do that?
Kevin, I'm going to go ahead and apologize to you because about half of this is going to be about straightening you out probably. But, I think that's a consistent story too, that, you know, the teamwork that I've seen with you guys and, you know, y'all with Kevin on the Education Foundation and the, you know, past president, y'all really driven success, you know, through the association and the industry. And I mean, I think that's a story that needs to be told, that partnership. You know, you guys.
Yeah, we do have a great team, and people say, well, how can you live with somebody you work with, like, and married to for all that time? And we don't bring business home.
Yeah.
When we walk out the door, business stays in business and home is home.
Yeah, well, I know, especially Kevin, you and I haven't talked as much or been around each other as much as Kevin and I has, but he's really helped me with what I've tried to do. You know, he really has always been there. So, and then a lot of people, you know, see that and feel that way. Good. Okay. All right, Bonnie. What about you?
we got to thank Kevin for all the things he's doing for Auxiliary, because really there. He backs us up all the time. But
yeah, we know. Trust me, everybody knows.
Well, I married into this. I met Rick back in 2003. And when we got married in 2008, we were so engulfed in it. Everybody thought we were already married. But he really loves PHCC. He loves the plumbing industry. He's been doing it since he was a wee boy. His dad took him with him on all of his calls, and he was always doing stuff. He said he's done his neighbor's, fixed his neighbor's plumbing back when he was like 13 or 14. But anyway, I don't know what's true and what's not. But at any rate, I got involved when I found out that there was an education piece to this. And on the local level, I started with the scholarships. And then on the national level, somebody said, we've got an opening in scholarships. So I do that. And I even do the foundation scholarship applications now, because I really, education's my thing. And keeping family involved is my thing too. So that's why I like the local North Carolina PHCC and our summer convention, and always enjoy Connect and all the things that we do. And as an auxiliary, we're just trying to keep those things going, keeping the education going, keeping the families involved and the spouses or the guests involved. And we think that's important. So that's why I'm here.
Well, you know, we see that with the auxiliary and other pieces of the association, that the more it's family driven, it gets easier. You know, it really does. And so, yeah, trust me, in North Carolina, Kathy, you may not know, but Bonnie's a rock star, especially in North Carolina with everything she's done. And, you know, from the auctions that we have, all kind of things. So, yeah, it's been a great fit. Thank y'all. And thank y'all for doing all that.
And you being the auctioneer that you are, Joel, makes it all happen.
Yeah, we're not going to go there.
Teamwork.
We're not going to go there. Like a lot of part, it's really been interesting for me, you know, getting so involved in the association at the national level, and how little a lot of our members know about the entire association. And I think the pieces and parts of it. I think the auxiliary is the same way. A lot of times, I don't think people, the general member, understands what the auxiliary does or how important it is, the history especially. So, I mean, maybe you guys can give us a snapshot of the history, how it got started, or, you know, give us some of that understanding.
I can tell you that Emily Hornbrook, we call her Mother Hornbrook, in 1919 is when she started the auxiliary. It had to go through, she was a husband of a master plumber and from the National Association, and they would go, I think it really started around the 1915.
Okay.
They were going, they had nothing to do. They had all these wives, daughters, everybody, sons. They wanted something to do they couldn't be in the meetings with their, you know, at that point, all male fathers.
The good old days when it was all males. I'm just kidding. Yeah. I am kidding.
It was. So they decided to make their own organization, but it took a few years because it had to be okayed by so many different organizations.
Oh, yeah.
Just like we get voted, you know, when you're joining anew and you want to start something, it has to be, you know, agreed upon. So it was voted in, and they started in 1919.
Oh, wow.
So the auxiliary has been running for over 100 years. And she was 95 years old. She died in 1952, and she was still very, very influential that entire time. She was really big on, I think in the beginning part, it was sanitation. What can the women do?
Sure.
They did to
improve water quality and
water quality.
Yeah, sure.
They then went on the campaign of making sure that bathrooms were at every gas station.
You're traveling all over the country, and yeah, sure.
Yep. Well, we lose sight. National Auxiliary is the one that got that going to all the different, back then, the different gas companies, and that's how all the bathrooms got put in there.
No kidding. Well, see, we take things for granted now.
You know? You do.
Yeah, we really do, especially water quality.
We've been going strong, like I said, for a long time, and in 2013, is when the auxiliary, all of our historical records were entered into the Smithsonian Institution, which is really, really exciting. But I got to read you this one little thing, which is funny because it's on their website. I think I said it at the meeting. It says, how did a group of plumbers' wives change American history? Initially, a social club for women auxiliary grew to become one of the nation's most influential organizations in the country.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
Now it's not just women, though. We also have men, and we appreciate all the support we can get.
Well, you know, I like to kid you guys about the good old days when it was all men, and I do that because, for instance, my Rotary Club here that I'm a member of, you know, we didn't let women in either. And for a long time, actually, when I started, we only had two women. Like in 92, I think we only had two women in our Rotary Club. And so we started letting women in. And, you know, the joke is, you know, our Rotary Club was failing. Okay, I got bad news for everybody. And if we...
Bring in a women, she'll help you out.
Well, what's happened is it's transformed our club into a lot better organization. We're a lot more detailed. We're a lot better organized. We actually have a lot wider range of understanding of what's going on in our community. It you know, what does that sound familiar, Kathy? I mean, and both of you, I think, you know, the auxiliary's really helped transform the organization to keep up with change all these years. You know, being the oldest trade association in the country, you know, a lot of times people want to say, well, oh my God, something that old is stuck in its ways, but it's actually the opposite. You don't survive. It's like our businesses. You can't have an old business
if you don't change.
Exactly. And so I think we need to make sure we understand that movement of it not being just a women's social club. At the time, that's what we were thinking and doing, right? So it probably fit culturally then.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's transformed into men members, and it's not really a women's auxiliary like it was. And I don't like history. I don't like us reevaluating history through our current day lens. So a lot of times we'll go back to things that happened in the past and go, oh, that was terrible. But no, the women's auxiliary was brilliant in what it started as. And now, you know, you go forward, and it's like a lot of organizations today, we have to change.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing. But boy, we better remember that past that you brought up. And it's pretty cool to have. I bet Lynn Finley's pretty happy.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And, you know, Lynn was one of my, it may have been the second national meeting I ever went to. This woman comes up and interrupts somebody talking. So I'm Lynn Finley. Who are you? And I remember going, well, but she goes, you need to join the auxiliary. And I was like, okay. And she goes, I'll sign you up. Yes, ma'am. I mean, you know, so, but God, you know, she is, I love her. And
she's the one who has written our history books. Yeah. And also was very influential in getting us into the Smithsonian. So yes, she is definitely our historian.
Shout out.
That's the auxiliary, not the PHCC, right, Kathy?
Yeah, it's the auxiliary.
Oh, it's just the auxiliary. That's right. Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. Hey, Joel.
Yes, ma'am.
Guess who was the first woman president in back in the early 90s at Rotary Club? Ooh, that might have been me. Back in Fuquay. I was the first one.
Fuquay on the cutting edge. And for all you people,
I'm that girl.
If you don't know where Fuquay is, look it up in North Carolina. It's a metropolis. Right. Raleigh is a suburb of Fuquay. Anyway.
Oh, yeah, something like that.
Perfect. So, you know, all that conversation about finding, to me, it's changing and organizations trying to find a way forward. Yeah, and a lot of into this new world that we're dealing with now. And my God, with COVID and everything that's happened, but it was really happening a long time. But we're talking a lot about the next generation.
Right.
And, you know, what is our mission going to be in the future at PHCC? And, you know, I think talk about that with how you guys see going forward with the auxiliary. You know,
I think it not only with the auxiliary, but like you said, with our businesses, everything changes. Yeah. Everything, you have to, you know, rise above and go in a different direction constantly. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why this year we did revise our auxiliary vision statement, our mission statement. Why would you want to be a member of the auxiliary? What the auxiliary does. Okay. And it's really trying to get the new members to see what the value is. And also the sponsors of what not only the PHCC does, but the auxiliary, AEC, UAC, you know, QSA, all of us, what we have to contribute to this industry. And unless you're willing, like you said, you can't stay in the back ages, and it can't just be men.
Are you sure? I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Positive. You really have to transform your way of thinking. And that is, you got to admit, that's hard for some people. Some people like to stay, you know, in their comfort zone. But unless you go outside that comfort zone, you're never going to learn. You're never going to grow. You're never going to build this organization into what it should be.
Yeah. Well, you know, change is bad is a really terrible strategy. You know, and how do we know it's bad? I mean, a lot of times, you know, we assume.
Generally, it's good.
Yeah, it's almost always good if you embrace
it.
Sure. You know, our company is being transformed by women. We have a service technician that, and she was actually on one of the videos that National did. And you know, it started off as, you know, our guys were like, well, okay, and you know, they were. Okay, we got a, you know, they put a woman in a truck. Okay, and then pretty soon.
And what is she gonna do? Wash it?
And I'll tell you what happened. Then all of a sudden, she was brilliant, Kathy. She started going to our customer. Now, of course, we weren't smart. My brother and I weren't smart enough to coach her to do this. She said, "Hey, I know I'm a woman. If you don't like, if you are uncomfortable, I understand. But let me service the equipment, and if you're not happy with it, we'll send somebody else out here, no charge." All of a sudden, we got all these people. I mean, and everybody's requesting her. All the other service techs got scared of her because guess what? She's technically good and she's organized and all that. So, I mean, when I'm talking about that, you know, I don't like to say that I'm tired of hearing, you know, this is our first woman service technician or this is our first. I think we need to we need to quit talking about that and normalize that success because it's there. And it's not she's our first best service technician woman. She's our second best. I mean, she's a really incredible customer service agent for us. And people love her because she's good, you know.
And Rick did that, Joel. He hired somebody and put her in charge of the service department. So how do you think his guys felt when they put a woman in charge? That was interesting. But she is.
Well, if they were honest, they should have been used to it. So anyway.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, right. Sorry.
And you know, you have a woman in charge of your life.
Four or five, it looks like. Yeah. But I want to, you know, with this whole auxiliary shift that you guys are going through, I know, Kathy, y'all have talked a lot about working on women in the industry. You know, and I think it leads to that normalization of women in our industry and being successful in our industry so that we can build out of this thing because it's an incredible industry for everybody.
You know, women have been in this industry for many, 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 Emily Hornbrook.
Yeah.
Since 1919, she's been out there in this industry developing all of these different things that people needed.
Sure.
Technicians, women technicians have been in companies for years. Yeah. But I think the stigma finally now is getting smaller that, hey, they are good. They are detailed and they're organized. And I think it's finally coming around that, hey, women can do men's jobs just as men can do women's jobs.
Sure.
It shouldn't be a male or a female. It should just be we're all, you know, equal workers.
Sure.
But I do really, you know, please advertise the Women in the Industry videos. You can get them on the PHCC website, also the Auxiliary website. Use those in trade schools and if at college interviews, because we need more women to understand that we're now coming full circle. It's not just a man's world.
Sure.
In this industry.
Well, I know over the years at Connect, especially, you guys have done a lot of work on workforce development, some of the workshops you've had and the, you know, the luncheons and everything you have, but those videos are available all year round. I mean, and I don't think as contractors we use them to recruit state by state or contractor by contractor. So I'm glad you mentioned that because it's some of those resources that we talk about that the auxiliaries really put forward to help everybody, a great part of PHCC.
And look at the woman apprentice.
Oh, yeah.
Who won first place in the HVAC at convention. That is, Kevin got tears in his eyes.
Yeah.
He says, because finally they're being recognized.
Where was she from? Minnesota.
I don't remember now.
Yeah, he was crying because she wasn't from New Jersey and he couldn't hire her.
No, he was crying because it's the first woman who actually won first place.
Well,
but I bet he would have hired her.
No, he.
Oh, he would have been a heartbeat.
He was wanting to. We all were. I was trying to find out where she was from. The other thing about that was really interesting is when she won. I don't know if you guys remember, the thing I really liked about it too was the kid that came in second took the microphone and said, "Well, I she is a female and won this thing, but I got news for you guys. She was better than the rest of us." And I thought that was the most gracious thing I've heard at a ceremony like that, you know, but that was really, really good stuff. So with the auxiliary, you guys are doing tons of stuff and, you know, I think it gets lost sometimes. Your scholarships, you know, talk about your scholarships a little bit if you can, and what y'all have done in the past, if you can, and, you know, and this, what that really means.
You know, that's probably our biggest thing we've done for as long as I can remember. We generally give out around $40,000 in scholarships. That the students need to be sponsored by an auxiliary member.
Yep.
The applications, we only had a few that came in on time, so we have extended the deadline till July 1st. So if you know anybody, we have the Bradford White scholarships. You have to be an apprentice or going into something into the industry or being in the industry. And then we have all the other ones. I mean, we really want to get more students, more applications in. So pass that along.
Okay. And you just go on the national website and look at it.
National website. Perfect. We also right now have it on Facebook, on the auxiliary one, on the PHCC's one. We just send out news blasts to all the members. And so hopefully by July 1st, we'll get more in.
Yeah. I know one of the things with that is in the history, I missed something I was going to talk about is, Kathy, was it 2 years ago that we changed the format with the auxiliary and PHCC that we brought? I think it was 2 years ago we started working on it, and we brought the auxiliary under as a major part of PHCC National instead of a separate entity. And I think that's that, you know, it sounds like we should have always been there when we say it, right? But I think,
you know, again, it goes back to those, I hate that word, but it is kind of like the old timers. You know, they kind of wanted to keep their own little organization separate.
Yeah, yeah.
But eventually it got to the point, and Bonnie can contest this. It finally got to the point where it was, excuse my language, a shit or get off the pot.
Okay, mark this time. We're cutting that out. But anyway, keep going. Oh, my God.
We've got to really go under and work more with the PHCC.
Yeah.
Or option two, go under.
Yeah.
And as we had staff, we had executive board members saying, no, you cannot.
Well, it was all volunteer. I mean, when you're 100% volunteer, it's amazing what you have to do without any staff. Yeah.
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 And yeah, so we have no staff. Thank God we do have Shelley now. And the other ones, whatever we need, they're right there.
So your favorite staff person at PHCC National is who?
Shelley.
It's Shelley.
Okay.
Hi, Shelley. Perfect. Love you.
We do love Shelley.
She's our backbone.
So today, from a history standpoint, you guys are really in a transition period still. I mean, it takes time because now, you know, you don't have your independent bylaws, you don't have all these other things. So you're going through this change, but you're poised really to try to grow your membership. Right. You're trying to expand it, but you're really going to get laser. It sounds like you're going to get laser focused on different missions and whether it's women in the industry. And I know that's a part of what you guys are talking about, but you're really in that transition currently, correct?
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's really important, too. You keep talking about getting the word out. I think we've got to get the word out farther than PHCC and farther than our local, you know, people. We've got to get it out to the general public. People don't know what PHCC is. And I feel pretty passionate about getting those women in the industry videos out there to the schools and to the tech schools and finding, you know, some kids. And we've got to start somewhere. And that's what my focus is going to be.
Oh, that's great. Okay. So next year, that's going to be your focus.
Women in the industry and getting it out to John Q. Public.
Perfect. Dave Frame's going to love you. So guys, listen, I want to switch gears. Thanks for all that feedback. And everybody, every group, every organization is always on a journey. So I think it's important for people to know where we're going, where we've been and where we're going. So that's good stuff. So switching gears, I also have liked in these things and I've learned some incredible things about the people in our association. So tell us something that nobody knows about you that you want to share. And it's a family show. Just kidding.
It's a family show. Well, a lot of my friends know I was born up in the holler.
Born up in the holler. New Jersey has a holler. That doesn't sound
like. No, I was born in Clifton Forge, Virginia.
Were you really? Oh, okay. Yeah. No kidding. Okay.
That's funny because I was born in New Jersey, but I was raised in Tennessee, and here I am for over 30 years.
So. Bunny, that's it. I'm going to tell you that this is going to be my favorite episode because I'm not the only one with an accent. So this is perfect. So I'm going to.
That's
this is
gonna right. Be... We're accented
so,
up.
So you're born, both of you are born in the sticks, just different sticks. Of course, actually Jersey, and then you got your sticks from Tennessee. Okay.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
Okay, so, okay.
Bunch of hicks from the sticks. Bunch of hicks. That's right, Joel.
Okay, well, that's good. And then, so, anything else?
I told you I went to school for CSI.
Yeah.
Love that. And when Kevin decided to start the business, it was 2 weeks before Christmas. I have little kids, and all I kept thinking was, oh, my God, is Santa Claus coming? Like, you're panicking. You have two little kids, right? How is this going to change? I'm like, I don't want to be in the plumbing industry. But, you know, things change. And Santa Claus did come that year.
I'm sure he did.
Yes.
Okay, so let's switch. I mean, that's great to hear about. Yeah, we take chances. I call it legalized gambling, Kathy. What we do is really just legalized gambling. And I don't know, blindfolded legalized gambling sometimes, but
yep, I hear you.
Yeah, so another one is your favorite dessert. What would you?
Anything chocolate.
Knew that about Bonnie.
Mine is key lime pie.
Key lime pie. That's a waste of calories. Okay, mine is.
I know yours is apple pie.
Apple pie and vanilla ice cream, and you can just I go straight to sleep. So that's perfect. So the other thing that I really have gotten into that I really like is. Because some of us are getting older, is what, you know, especially with this next generation, if you could go back and give advice to your 20-year-old self, what would that be?
No, it's funny because when I read that, I actually wrote it down because I thought at 20, I got married at 19. Kevin was 21. So at 20, we'd only been married a year. I was in sales for a company out of Chicago. And he was obviously in the industry. So I said, if I told myself you would be successful, because I remember I wasn't sure if I wanted to go in that field with him. So in my 20s, you would be successful to embrace the history with Kevin. Together, you will make a great team.
Oh, wow. There you go.
And we did. Oh, but at that time, I wanted nothing to do with it.
Yeah, sure.
Well, I mean, I'm just working with my husband all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's why the 20-year-old self is a good because, I mean, my kids are 19 and 21, and, you know, I found, I'm my father. I'm trying to explain to them things, and I'm thinking, I didn't listen either.
Yeah.
And they actually listened better than I did, but it's just interesting that translation back is so hard. You know, it really is to get across. Mm-hmm. Especially maybe we always like to say from one generation to the next, it's harder. That generation's, you know, but I think it's the same, but it's just different problems. You know?
Yeah. Bonnie, what would yours be?
Well, I would say sit back and enjoy the ride. Don't stress too much because the road's bumpy, but as long as you're honest and hardworking and faithful, you'll come out on top.
Yeah.
Because I always have and I always will.
Oh my God. Okay. Mm-hmm. We're gonna blip. We're gonna pull that out and just show that.
I don't care.
No. That's really good. I mean, I think
that's
we need to.
That's serious.
Yeah, it is. That's good stuff. Yeah. None of us stress out about anything at all. So, I mean, I think we've already covered it. So, okay. I appreciate those things because people want to hear. Like we had Bev Potts was on our last one. And, you know, some of the stuff she told us, you know, she collects antique railroad memorabilia.
That's cool.
And you just go, what? And it's all tied to her grandfather who worked in the railroads. And so just this connection and antique fishing gear. And I'm like, I'm coming to your house. So I think those stories were all, and you know, do you realize how many people now are connected to, I mean, all the guys that go fishing and PHCC are going to be showing up at her house. But, you know, it's just, I think
we could totally give some stuff to her.
I asked her, I said, what's your address? And she goes, I'm not telling you. But anyway, I'm stretching the truth. But you guys are so passionate. You don't do, you know, Kathy, you talked about the time and energy and everything. Y'all aren't, you know, you don't do these things. You know, we don't double your pay, and that's why you do it. So by being so passionate, what do you see, you know, what are your real outcomes you want, Kathy, as you finish your presidency, and maybe Bonnie, what outcomes do you want to try to drive? Can you think about, I mean, that's hard, I think.
I think that one, growing the membership, okay. Growing definitely. Our support, basically being an advocate for the, again, the PHCC, the auxiliary, our sponsors, the industry. You know, we've been going strong for 100 years, and I'm really hoping we're going to make another 100. Yeah. But in able to do that, you have to have younger leadership come up. And that's what I think we have a hard time with, is getting the younger people to get involved. Yeah. So that's something I would really like to see work on. And that's why we did, Joel, we did the video last year.
Sure.
The erase board at a younger, or like late teen or early teen high school age. Let's get them into this. How do we get them interested in doing that? And the one thing, I know I may be jumping ahead, but it's part of this, that I would love to see a podcast on with either like a state educational director, principal, whatever, on why they feel that a trade for a student is not as good as college. Mm. College is not for everybody. We all know that.
Sure.
And we need to get through to them. And I'll keep this short, but when Heather was, I was president of the state of New Jersey auxiliary at the time. And my oldest one was in high school. And I went into the guidance counselor, because her guidance counselor was wonderful. She was so into trades. Her husband was a plumber. So I would bring in all the PHCC stuff, applications, information. And I had my own, she gave me my own little section in the, you know, department. And I went in the one day with more, and the woman, I was standing there talking to her, and somebody behind me said, "Who keeps putting these flyers in here? Throw them out. Our kids are not going to trade school." Ooh. She literally grabbed my shoulder, because she knew I was about to turn around and flip out. And I turned around. I said, "Excuse me?" He says, "Only," and this is, I'm telling the truth. He says, "Only stupid kids.
Oh, God.
Go into trade." I said, "Well, let me tell you something." And he was the supervisor, the town supervisor, school supervisor. I said, "Well, let me tell you something." I said, "You know, someday when you want your mansion built, only the stupid kids are going to be there to build it." Yeah. "Because you're not allowing your students to go into the trade and learn a well-groomed, a well-talented, and very profitable career for them." And after that, he was fired.
Hmm. I can't imagine that happened. I can't imagine.
I literally can't imagine that's how they think. And I think they still think that way today.
Yeah, you know, I think in any middle class, working class entry opportunity, that we really, there's an opportunity now, especially better than any, to change that view. You know, with all the what's happened with college debt all across the country. With you know, really kids, I think, being misled that they get out of college, they go to college, they're stressed out, they graduate, they get out, they got all this college debt, and they can't find a job that matches their expectations with their degree. And so I think it's more than anything, it's an attitude that we've got to develop, to really positively talk about our industry and the opportunities. And, you know, the videos you guys did last year, the video especially, maybe we can show that at the end of this. We can add that in, I think, mm-hmm. and maybe show the video at the end of this thing, because it is a really tight, direct video about the opportunity. And
it's New Jersey used to have tags or stickers that the trucks could have on the back of it. And it said, "If you want a job, go to college. If you want a career, get into a tech field."
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
And
well, and making a difference, number. You know, we have so many people I know in our company, and I hear it all across the country, that they get up every day and they know that what they do, they're making a difference for somebody. And that really, and they're improving, you know, this clean water and clean air focus that we have,
right.
Especially in today's world, that's a massive thing for people and customers and you know, and our industry. And so we're improving the world and improving the country. So that's really good stuff. You don't agree with that, Bonnie, do you?
Well, I agree with it, but I just have to tell you, I think that it would be a great thing. I didn't get to answer a few minutes ago. If we could get the word out to the general public and people would be so aware of PHGC and how the training opportunities and all that kind of stuff, how everybody is a real plumber or a real HVAC person or contractor. I think it'd be really cool if people have the mentality that they don't want to hire just anybody. They want to hire a PHGC tech. Wouldn't that be awesome?
It would.
If everybody else knew it, not just us, but everybody.
Well, we're really, National is really taking on a lot larger in the future, you know, ending this year some and next year, a really lot larger format on social media marketing to get the word out at a lot larger space without spending millions and millions and millions of dollars. And so we're really driving that state by state. And I know the auxiliary is going to be tied up all in the middle of that. So I think that's a really, Bonnie, to your point, it matters. And,
and we I think it does too.
And the quality.
We can't keep it just to ourselves.
You know, I had a, I've got, actually my in-laws are in the middle of replacing an air conditioning unit at their house, and they live a good distance from us, and they had called someone that's not in PHGC, and their salesman, you know, it was a bad experience. And then they called me, and I gave them someone that's, you know, they're 3 hours from us, and so I gave them someone that's in PHGC, and I immediately get this phone call back after the visit, and she's like, oh my God, you know. And so there is, you know, there can be a massive difference in the quality because of that association. It really stands out. So listen, one of the things that, and it's on here, but I'm not sure. Can y'all talk about some of the state by state issues? I know, are y'all set up to do that? Because I didn't really.
You mean within the auxiliary?
Yeah, the state by state auxiliary.
A lot of our members are members at large.
Right.
We do have, Bonnie, do you know how many states we still have charters?
I want to say 13. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's in the teens, I think, and we have 38. Yeah. We have 38. State associations, but only like, you know, somewhere in teens is my understanding. So what would be your, you know, say in a perfect world 10 years from now, you know, we're all a little bit grayer, except for you guys. You keep coloring your hair, so it'll be all right. And I may have to do that too. But but what would be your vision to say, man, we have made a massive difference state by state, you know?
When I was president in 2005, we had roughly 2,000 members, auxiliary members. And now where we are now, we need to, my vision would be, we would be able to regain somehow, and that's something that has to be worked out, I think, over the next couple of years too, is how do we bring in that younger generation?
Okay.
Just
like we have to in PHCC overall. That's not just the auxiliary.
Stephanie from your state.
You better know.
She's given us great ideas. And I said, you know what? Eventually we're going to have a team.
Yeah.
We need to have younger generation tell us why they would want to join, what we need to do, what we can do, how to do it to bring in that younger generation. Because otherwise you're right. We're all getting older. We need to get people in to replace us.
And so does it make sense, Bonnie? I know in North Carolina, we struggled in North Carolina with the auxiliary on the same people, you know, for years and years and years. And so it's the same.
For a couple of years,
And so this leads us, I think, directly to a conversation about Connect that's coming up. Because one of our big focuses that we've settled on is that we're going to bring in, we think we're going to be able to bring in 75 to 100 contractors, or you know, from different contracting companies that are already members,
right,
of 40 and under, and what we're calling the next generation, and we're going to try to get them in Charlotte. And to me, it would be a great tie-in with them to bring their better halves, or you know, and make sure we get them the guys that come to join the auxiliary, you know, to make sure that we connect those dots as much as we can. So I think it's a perfect time for you guys and National to tie that next generation together. Okay.
Yeah, and we've got, you know, locally, we didn't have any members in 2003 and 4, I believe, maybe 4 and 5, and then just 4 or 5 of us agreed to start it back up again. And, you know, at our last meeting, we probably had 19 or 20 people, three of which were men. So the role reversal is happening in our auxiliary.
And we made it a lot. We made it a lot better, didn't we? The three of us made it a lot better.
You weren't one of the three, Joel. It was two spouses. Not that you're not welcome, but now that you're an auxiliary member nationally, then now you're automatically a member locally as well. So yes, you're a member now.
I do want y'all to know I went and paid, made sure my dues were paid last week for national.
That's right. That's right.
I went, I scheduled this and I went, I need to check.
Make sure I think Raylene's going to get on some of them who haven't paid yet.
Raylene said, Raylene gave me some grief, but that was perfect. So listen, guys, I really appreciate all the time. You know, we're coming up on, we're not quite, we're like 47 minutes. We've been on this thing. It's gone pretty fast. What else do you guys, any other things you want to bring up, talk about, any specifics?
Bonnie?
No, not specifically. I think that we do need to all push the women in the industry videos and try to get those out and try to get the public aware of PHCC. But I'm glad to hear that the National is doing some things on social media. I think that's going to be big because I think that's the way you reach people right now. But I think it'd be interesting. You gave me some good ideas. I think we should ask our kids that are in the industry, you know, why don't you want to be more involved in try to get them involved, and even the other people's kids that are in the industry planning on being in the industry. It's pretty important to know what they think. So maybe we need to do the role reversal and ask them what they think versus us them asking us and getting advice from us.
You know, in the I know with Dave Frame and Joe Cornetta coming in, and maybe some other future people that we have coming in. I think
you get that, Kathy.
I think the partnership between National and the Auxiliary having the same goals on, let's say, a partnership on edifying each other on women in the industry. And, you know, each of us pushing that together or pushing the next generation together or the family friendly. You know, there's across this country right now, there's a shift back to family. And we're going to, I really think with everything and really a shift back to focusing on what holds us together instead of what separates us. And I think that's
one of the reasons why I think it was 4 years ago, and I can't remember which executive president it was, said, can you guys, the auxiliary, start not having auxiliary events at convention, just hosting events that guests, spouses, or members can attend. You know, a lot of people, you know, I'm in the industry with Kevin, but that doesn't mean I'm going to all the classes.
Sure.
I do go to the contractor board meeting because I hold the vote for Tanilla Rance. So, you know, I'm wrapped in it some, but there's some who are not in the industry at all, and they don't want to go to convention because there's nothing for them to do. Yeah. So that's why we started doing three events. And this year, the first one that they have us set up for is a city tour. It's an open bus. I think it holds 40 people. They have registration on the website for that. It's supposed to be a lot of fun. That's on Wednesday morning, I believe, from 9 to 11. We also have, after the trade show on Thursday, we're doing a bingo show.
Oh, okay.
And really great, great door prizes.
You got somebody to call.
An hour and a half for people just to go and have some fun. And
do you have somebody to call bingo that's really loud?
No, we don't. If you'd like to do it.
No, I don't want to do it, but I'm going to volunteer.
Oh, Joel, you would be great at that.
I'm going to volunteer somebody. I don't know. Okay. Let me know when it is. When was it?
It's Thursday afternoon after the trade show.
Okay, let me see what I can do. We got to figure that out. We need to, okay.
And then Friday morning, we're doing an energetic dance class with hosted by Linda Bienvenue. She has been taught dance school forever.
I will not be available for that. I promise.
I know you will. I'll be at the board meeting.
ask Renee Long about my shagging that we,
Did you do lessons?
Oh, my God, yeah. Yeah, when Renee and I, I'm going to share something nobody knows. Renee and I got married. We went on our honeymoon cruise, and, you know, half the boat was newlyweds and half the boat was elderly people or probably our age, you know, whatever, but we go out and they have dance night, you know, and they're doing all these dances through the ages and all this stuff. And they go, or all the country, you know, whatever. And they're doing, who knows how to blah, blah, blah. And they go, who knows how to shag? And we had two lessons and Renee goes, we do. And we go out there and it's Joel and Renee and 25 couples that had been shagging for 30 years. And it was, I'm counting, I'm going, it was terrible. We had a ball.
And
they went around tapping, you know, it was that thing where they tap people to get you off the dance floor. They tapped us about six times, and we wouldn't leave. It was great. But anyway, we had a good time. So, guys, anything else?
I think just, rebranding the Auxiliary, that was my project this year, mm-hmm. was consolidating committees, jobs, because, again, we didn't have staff before we came under National. So Shelley has been an absolute godsend and helped us gain not only strength, but support. But rebranding the image of the Auxiliary is my goal this year because, again, people think, oh, they've been here for 100 years. They're still here, unfortunately, you're right that I don't think a lot of not only members, sponsors and staff understand what we do. Yeah. Do we contribute? How do we do it? What is the outcome of that? And I think that by having that, especially at convention, by having those events that other people can say, hey, I'll go with you now, Hub. I don't want to go to your meetings, but hey, I'm going to go do this. We're able to get more people sure. to the convention, which again, helps the whole support of the PHCC and Connect.
It does.
Don't forget, we're having the silent auction at the trade show again this year.
Oh, yeah. Make sure you bring an item. If you're coming to Charlotte, bring an item for the silent auction.
We only have so much space, but if it's a really, really, really good item, we can fit it in.
Yeah, they'll kick something out.
And Daryl likes crown apple and apple pie.
There you go.
We did that. We made that move several years ago, too, because, one, there was no room to put it. And I said, wait a minute, if we have it inside the trade show, the Auxiliary brings in a lot of people to that, which gets them into the trade show. They're already in there. Then they get to go around, so we're helping to get more people into that trade show as well.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because this year with Mark and Grayo and some of the new staff and, some of the movement, we are going to challenge ourselves at Connect. We're changing things. We've got an air conditioning track, a plumbing tract, and a general tract, and then some next generation tract, and so we're changing some things. So there's some danger, but we're also making changes, and so we you guys need to do. Yeah, I know you are doing the same kind of thing to improve what you're doing.
It's danger. I think it's excitement.
Well, there's always risk. Maybe it's danger is not the right danger. Yeah, it's not dangerous.
Danger, young Will.
Yeah, but it's uncomfortable. Maybe that's a better, it can be, and we're not sure. And so we need to build that confidence. But listen, having a group of leaders that are willing to change things is massive. All right, Bonnie, what do you see coming up with you next year?
Growing is uncomfortable, but we got to go there or we're going to be eliminated. So we do need to get back. I had no idea that Kathy had that many members back in the day, and ours are dwindling down. So we've got to get some more people involved and get more people, helping us to figure out what it is that brings those people in. And again, we need to really get those women in the industry videos out as well as training the public. I think that, that's some place, we're here to toot your horn as the PHCC and our spouses. And I feel like if somebody doesn't do it, the PHCC is not going to survive either. So I think we need to focus on growing with women is not a bad way to grow.
No,
it's okay.
No, it's not. It's not.
It's a little painful, but it'll be painful. Better in the long
That's
run.
That's hilarious. I was going to say one other thing. Bonnie, in North Carolina, our biggest event is the going to the beach every year. Our mm-hmm. summer convention. And it's really because it's a family thing. And it's really, Kathy, that's what we're talking about across the country with National. This Connect thing needs to be more family friendly. And I know the more you can do with, besides just sitting in meetings, the better.
And
that's what I know that's what you guys are after on your side. And then the importance of the scholarship programs and everything you guys are doing, it has made a massive difference with contractors in our industry. So listen, congrats to you guys. I do like to close on one other thing. We're getting near the end and I put it on here. I don't know. Did you guys read the question about reading did you guys come up with a book or a podcast or something that you guys listen to?
No, I already mentioned my podcast.
What was that? I didn't listen.
What's your podcast?
The educational chairperson for a state It needs to be decided or talked with somebody.
Oh, okay.
On a state level, or even a national level.
Yeah, but is there some podcast or book that you? But what's the last book you read or podcast that you have listened to lately, besides Kevin running his mouth?
Was to my grandson a week ago. I can't remember the name of it though.
Okay. Bonnie,
I read a good book.
Did you?
Okay. I read John Grisham's Run, Rose, Run. It's really good. It'll get you. You can't go to sleep. You have to finish it. Well, I did. I had to finish reading it. And I don't really do a lot of podcasts. You are about the only podcast I've ever watched and listened to.
That's
so
awesome. There you go.
It's entertaining, and I enjoy.
This is the best podcast you've ever listened to, right? Because it's the only one. Okay. There you go. Well, we try to recommend a book every podcast, and mine for this podcast is this book. It's The Simple Truths of Service by Ken Blanchard and Barbara Glantz. And I tell you, it's a simple story about just how important it is to deliver good service and have a great attitude and do what's best for your customers and with energy. And I just love it. And I need to be reminded a lot about how to build loyalty with being positive, because it's hard in today's world. There's so many, it's so easy. Like if I go home and flip on TV for 5 minutes, I want to go, good Lord. But, you know, we have so many positives in our lives. And so it's a great little book. I'd recommend it. And it's really easy. It's got pictures and all kind of stuff. It's great. It's got
hey,
great.
Joel,
yes, ma'am.
When you finish that book, and by the way, I have that book ordered. I can't believe that, but
Really? Oh man. Okay.
There's a book called Britt Marie Was Here, and I think you need to read that.
What is it again?
Britt Marie, B-R-I-T-T. Britt Marie Was Here.
Okay.
And it's a book. It starts off it's a different book, unlike anything I've ever read. But Evan read it, and he said, Mom, this is so funny. And, you know, this lady, you know, gets tired of being mistreated kind of sort of thing. But it's really good. It talks about community and the kids in the community, and she takes care of the kids. It's a pretty cool book, but I think you'd enjoy it, and so would you, Kathy. Try it out.
Okay, I will
do something different. You want me to bring it on the cruise next week, Joel?
Bring it on our cruise next week.
I will. I'll bring it.
So, any last comments or thoughts, guys?
We just really, you know, appreciate the support of the executive board getting us in under the national. And really want it, like I said, really want not only the members, but staff, sponsors to really understand that we do have value.
Yeah.
I think we have a lot of value, and a lot of people still don't see that. Yeah. And I don't mean that to be negative. I just want, I want to get through that, you know, so they can see the value that the auxiliary does have or could have once we get more members and more support.
Sure. Bonnie?
I think she said in a nutshell. Good job, Kathy. Thank you, Joel. I appreciate you having us here.
You know, I've had a ball. I've really enjoyed it. I did want to add a couple things to that. You know, because I'm excited about what you guys are going to do in the future. I think you're poised for progress. I really do. I think the work you got, I'm not sure you two get how y'all have the opportunity to, the two of you, especially with your board and what's happening in some states, like with Stephanie. That if you guys can have a successful 6 months year, a successful Connect this year, a little bit of success will breed a ton of other success. Mm-hmm. So just you two working so hard together and being strong and confident and not backing away will make all the difference in the world. So I'm actually really excited. And I know Dave Frame next year and Joe Cornetta, those two guys want you to win. And so they're – I think the partnership is going to just get stronger and stronger. And now once Shelley, you know, the staff hasn't really figured out yet how to help you. It takes a while. And once I really believe that, you know, once Shelley and that staff figures out how to really combine the two efforts stronger together, your membership's going to just start blooming because it's going to be easier and it's hard right now. And then the other thing we're going to do is in Charlotte, we're going to have the best t-shirt we've ever had in the history of the auxiliary.
We're finalizing that as we speak.
And we're challenging anybody with Cleveland. I know Dave Frame's year is going to stink because he's not, you know, next year at Cleveland, they're going to be nothing. And so This is the best year that we're ever going to have in the history of t-shirts.
Oh, Michael, Dave, come on now.
He's okay. He's okay.
Am I allowed to ask, is there anybody who's coming up for vice president?
No, you're not allowed to ask. So, no, not yet, Kathy, not yet. I swear.
Well, I'm just thinking ahead with Tina, because Tina, we want to get somebody in there really good for Tina. Hefner will be she'll be president when the next one comes in.
There will be an announcement forthwith that we will not be talking about today. Fair enough?
Got it.
Perfect. That was a big word. I don't know what that means. So listen, guys, I really thank you so much, and I'm really excited, and let's lean on each other going forward. I know everybody's just really looking forward to future success, and congrats on the history, and can't wait to see you again. So thanks for joining us today. And, you know, thanks to everyone for taking the time to listen to today's podcast. Please spread the word about our podcast, and don't hesitate to contact us here at podcast@phccrocks.com. We're always looking for future suggestions, for future topics, and for future guests. Please, I want to thank Kathy and Bonnie again for all their time and for being such great guests and filling us in on the auxiliary and what's going on there. And PHCC Rocks is produced and brought to you by Amy Anderson and Elizabeth King from GSM Services and Charlotte Parham at PHCC National and edited by PHCC National. I'm your host, Joel Long. Thanks again for hanging out with us, and please keep coming back to hear more reasons why PHCC Rocks.